Welcome back. It's midday. I'm Tom Hall. Time for a theater review from J. Wynn Russick, our theater critic. Good to see you.
Good to be here, Tom.
So we're going to talk about The Merry Wives of Windsor, a Shakespeare play that's at the Baltimore Shakespeare Factory. I know this because you told me that Merry Wives is a little different from Shakespeare's other plays. So talk about that a little bit.
Well, Tom, this is the only play that Shakespeare set in his own time and place. It's a middle-class comedy. Tradition has it that it was written to order. Queen Elizabeth I was so pleased with the character of Sir John Falstaff in the two Henry plays, she asked Shakespeare to write another play featuring Falstaff. You can think of it kind of as a Falstaff sequel. It was possibly written in just 2 weeks. In his program notes...
Rush job.
Yeah, exactly. Written to order. In a hurry. In his program notes, director Tom DeLise calls it a woefully underrated play. Well, maybe. But it's not Shakespeare at his best, in terms of language, in terms of structure or character development. This production has some good things going for it, but it didn't change my mind about the play. The Queen is said to have asked to see Falstaff in love. Instead, we see Falstaff overtaken by lust and greed. In the main plot, Falstaff tries to seduce two married women, Mistress Ford and Mistress Page, and they totally outwit him. But there are also subplots. There's one about Mistress Ford's daughter, who's being courted by three men, and there's a mini subplot about a French doctor and a Welsh parson who are kind of coerced into a duel. But to get back to that primary plot, Falstaff thinks if he can seduce Mistress Ford and Mistress Page, he can get money out of them because they control their husband's purse strings. His biggest mistake is that he sends them both identical love letters, and they find this out.
Oops.
I brought the clip where they discover this.
Did you ever hear the like? Letter for letter, but that the name of Page and Ford differs. Here's the twin brother of thy letter. I'll warrant he hath 1,000 of these letters writ with blank space for different names.
Why, these are the very same.
The very hand, the very words. What doth he think of us?
Nay, I know not for sure. Unless he know some strain in me that I know not in myself, he never would have boarded me in this fury.
Boarding, call you it. I'll be sure to keep him above deck.
Ah, yes. Months and months before the invention of the mimeograph machine, Falstaff screws up and sends the same letter to two mistresses, Emily Klassen and Bethany Mayo. They are the title characters in The Merry Wives of Windsor over at Baltimore Shakespeare Factory. So, Judy, you mentioned that Merry Wives was written as a vehicle for Falstaff. So how good is the Falstaff in this production?
Quite good. He's played by David Forer, and his performance is one of the best things about the production. Forer wears a big fake belly to play the fat knight. He has his gray hair combed and gelled up over the sides. It's almost like wings over his ears. He has a large white beard. And his Falstaff is very proud. He's boastful. He struts around the stage. He likes to be the center of attention. And, of course, he likes to eat and drink and have a good time. The two wives vow revenge, and they play three different tricks on Falstaff. The first involves him hiding from Mrs. Ford's jealous husband by being snuck out of the house in a basket of dirty laundry. The second involves sneaking him out dressed as an old woman. For the third, he agrees to meet them at night in the woods, disguised as Herne, a mythological hunter with horns on his head. And then in the dark, he gets pinched and he gets poked by what he thinks are fairies and sprites. It's a sign of the heart that David Forer brings to Falstaff that I actually felt a little sorry for him when I saw him being tormented and screaming in the woods.
That's a trick. That's good, because Falstaff's a jerk. Yeah.
Well, he is in this play. I brought a clip of Falstaff with Mistress Ford's jealous husband. I should explain that in an attempt to discover if his wife is being unfaithful, Ford pretends to be someone called Master Brooke. And this clip comes right after the first act of revenge, the laundry basket episode. Falstaff is not yet fully humiliated.
Now, Master Brooke, you come to know what hath passed between me and Ford's wife.
That indeed, Sir John, is my business.
Master Brooke, I will not lie to you. I was at her house the hour appointed.
And how sped you, sir?
Very ill-favoredly, Master Brooke.
How so, sir? Did she change her determination?
No, Master Brooke. But her husband comes me in the instant of our encounter.
That's David Foer and Jeff Miller in the Baltimore Shakespeare Factory's production of The Merry Wives of Windsor. So, Judy, tell us about the other performances in the cast.
Well, they vary. Emily Klassen and Bethany Mayo play the two wives. They're both quite good. Their friendship is believable. Jeff Miller, who plays Master Ford, tends to overact, even for a comedy that's this broad. Right after the clip we just heard, his character is so furious to learn that his wife even met with Falstaff, he starts hitting himself in the face repeatedly with the wig that he wears when he's pretending to be Master Brooke. Also, I mentioned the mini subplot about a French doctor and a Welsh parson. Well, the actors who play these roles, particularly the Welsh parson, use accents that make them very difficult to understand at times.
How about the staging of on this production? Is this one of those Shakespeare updated deals?
Not at all. The Baltimore Shakespeare Factory attempts to recreate the type of staging that Shakespeare actually used. So the costumes, for example, mirror contemporary dress in Shakespeare's time. Baltimore Shakespeare Factory productions also incorporate direct address to the audience, and sometimes this includes audience interaction. The performance I attended, an actor addressed a theater goer in the front row, and she answered the actor. When the two wives get that same letter from Falstaff, Mrs. Page takes a seat in the audience, and she shows the letters to the theater goers who are next to her. There are a couple things I didn't quite understand. The text makes repeated references to Falstaff escaping in that laundry basket. But this production, for some reason, uses a steamer trunk. Later on, when he's disguised as an old woman, he's supposedly beaten and cudgeled by Master Ford. But this beating is the rare case of some underplaying in this production. You can almost miss it.
So isn't there some news about Baltimore Shakespeare Factory's stage, actually?
There is, there is. The company performs at St. Mary's Outreach Center in Hamden. There's an Elizabethan-style stage there that was built by local woodwright Thomas Brown in 2005, back when this was the home of the former Baltimore Shakespeare Festival. Now, Brown has gone back, and he's embellished the set. There's some decorative gold touches. There are flickering lanterns. Also, the windows and doors used to just be openings covered with curtains. Now they are actual wood doors with wrought iron trim. The windows look like leaded glass, in some cases stained glass. The ceiling over the balcony on stage, what's called the heavens, has reproductions of paintings of the sun and the moon. And he's worked in subtle references to Shakespeare's life. The wood that he used for the doors came from a forest near land that was owned by Shakespeare's mother. So the stage really looks lovely. I still have to admit I feel Merry Wives of Windsor is not tip-top Shakespeare, but Falstaff and these two Merry Wives carry the Baltimore Shakespeare Factory's production.
Isn't that nice? A little touch of the Globe Theater right here in Hamden. The Merry Wives of Windsor is at the Baltimore Shakespeare Factory until Sunday. We've got a link to details about the show times and all that stuff on our website, WIPR.org/midday. So, Judy, you and I are taking a couple of weeks off, and then we will reconvene in September, right after Labor Day. We're going to have a preview of what's coming up next year, huh?
Yeah, I'm eager to tell you about that.
Eager to hear about it. All right, see you then. Thanks so much. Lunch today provided by Eddie's of Roland Park. They're celebrating 75 years as Baltimore's gourmet grocer. Eddie's is making surprise workplace lunch drops every week this year as part of their year-long 75th anniversary celebration. For details, visit eddiesofrolandpark.com/anniversary. That's it for us today. Coming up tomorrow, it's the Midday News Wrap. We'll take a look behind the headlines of the week. I hope you can join us then. I'm Tom Hall. On behalf of the entire Midday team, thanks for listening. Here and Now is up next after the news at the top of the hour. Have a great day.